Good evening from Boston, Massachusetts. My name is Frank Allen. Tonight, I report on mind control, legal and moral ethics from the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you'd like to call in and join the show or ask a question, just call 800-313-9443. Or if you'd just like to listen, call 605-313-0163. And I'd like to briefly just go over a couple of things here before we get started. I'd like to mention a very stellar organization, and their name is Targeted Justice. And they are a great group of people, wonderful people. I happen to be an advisor to Targeted Justice, and I'm very proud to be. And to join, just go to targetedjustice.com. At the top of the page on the left, you will see home. Take your mouse and hover over that, and you will see meet the team and become a member. Click become a member, or tick if you're from across the pond, and you'll be on your way. Just go to targetedjustice.com. Okay, Targeted Massachusetts Northeast Conference airs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern. By phone, just dial 515-604-9715, and the access code is 708-922, ID Targeted. If you'd like to join us by computer, in your address bar, type freeconferencecall.com/wall/targeted. Our YouTube channel is Targeted Massachusetts. Okay. There are three sources that I'm using for the material tonight, and that is Neuroscience from Curtin University, The Scientific American, and Harvard University. So those are my three sources. Okay, let me see here which would interest. Just going through my notes. Okay, we'll start. Reading minds is been part of science fiction as far as I can remember. And the scientists love it too. But even as someone who turned their love of Kurt Vonnegut, John Windeman, and H.G. Wells into a career as a neuroscientist, I hadn't considered telepathy a serious avenue for research until recently. And this is what gets me. We have all of this documentation everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere you look. Just type mind control into your search bar, and you will get 1,000 pages at least, if not more. And I've never told anyone why I am here. I am here to get the word out on targeting U.S. citizens and other people all over the world. And I'm here to educate the non-targets on what is going on in your country that you don't know about, that may hurt you, as it has done me. My family was split. I don't have contact with my daughters the way I should. I don't have contact with my brothers the way I should. And my family has been splintered by this. And it's for the simple fact that they do not believe me. So it's my job to get on Republic and make believers out of you. Lately, there's been a lot of hype in the neuroscience world about a technology called brain-to-computer interface, which are electric networks which can send a person's brain signals to a computer. This is dangerous, people. This computer can then be taught to read these signals and use them to perform a variety of tasks. For example, just last year, this sort of device was used to record the movement signals in the brain of disabled stroke patients, sending an electrical current to an upper body exoskeleton that controlled the person's limbs, allowing these patients to regain control over their hands and arms. Now that's a remarkable feat. But in the process of doing the research into the brain's activity, they have stumbled upon memories. They have stumbled upon your life, your bank accounts, your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, everything is there for them. They have another kind of interface here that I don't respect too much, and it's brain-to-brain interface, but there is a computer in the middle. So to me, it is two people communicating by way of a computer. So a brain-to-brain interface records the signals in one person's brain and then sends these signals through a computer in order to transmit them into the brain of another person. This process allows the second person to read the mind of the first, or in other words, have their brain fire in a similar pattern to the original person. Once again, there is a computer in the middle, an AI computer, that is learning every time it makes a move. And you can relate this to something very simple that's been around since the 60s. And that's a computer that plays chess that learns from its mistakes. So AI has been around a long, long time. One of my nephew's first projects when he went to college was to program a computer to play chess, which he did successfully. Back in 2013, the first study in which two brains were successfully joined to collaborate and complete a task was published in Scientific Reports. First, Miguel Pasviera and his colleagues trained rats to perform a basic task. The animals were trained to press one of two levers, with the correct lever signaled with a light. The correct choice gave them access to water. Once the rats could successfully complete this task 4 out of 5 times, they were assigned as either the encoder, the one sending signals, or the decoder, the one receiving them. Encoder rats were surgically implanted with recording wires that measured activity in the motor areas of the brain, while decoder rats were implanted with stimulating wires in the same area. Each one was kept in a separate container, and only the encoder rats were shown the light signal on the levers. As the encoder rats chose a lever, neurons in their brain started firing. The BBI AI recorded this activity, transformed it, and used it to stimulate an equivalent pattern into the brain of the decoder rat. The decoder rat had to correctly press a lever based on this stimulation. Water was only given if both animals successfully pushed the right lever. The researchers found that both rats pushed the correct lever 62% of the time, or more than chance probability. So, we have experimentation on rats, and there were no limits to the experimentation that they did on these rats. I have researched in other areas, and they had the rats doing everything but dancing. Within a year, applications for this kind of device ballooned. In November of 2014, the first real-time BBI for humans was developed by Regis Rao and colleagues at the University of Washington. Unlike the poor rats, the human device was non-invasive, meaning surgery was not required. This device transferred the movement signals from the encoder straight to the motor area of the brain of the decoder without using a computer. In the study, Rao and his team used an electroencephalography, placing recording wires on the scalp of the encoding person. Then the scientist used transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS, on the decoding person's brain, sending little magnetic pulses through their skull to activate a specific region of their brain. This caused the second person to take the action that the first person meant to. For example, to press a button. The decoder wasn't consciously aware of the signal they received. Instead, their hand simply moved when stimulated, as though a puppeteer was controlling their limbs. But as cool as this sounds, there was a major limitation to the study. The decoder wasn't consciously aware of the signal they received. They weren't able to actively process the incoming neural information, meaning only movement was transferred, not thoughts. In this case, their hand simply moved when stimulated, as though a puppeteer was controlling their limbs. Fortunately, a study using brain-to-brain interface to transfer information between people swiftly followed. The same researchers at the University of Washington then designed a game with pairs of participants, similar to like 20 questions. In the game, the encoder was given an object that the decoder wasn't familiar with. The goal was for the decoder to successfully guess the object through a series of yes or no questions. But unlike in 20 questions, the encoder responded by looking at LED flashing lights, one signifying yes and the other no. The visual response generated in the encoder's brain was transmitted to the visual areas of the brain of the decoder. To do so, the encoders had to wear, and I can't say this word tonight, I don't know why, electroencephalography, and I'm not even going to bother, CAP or EEG CAP, which uses electrodes on the scalp to detect brain activity. Meanwhile, the decoders had a transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS apparatus, positioned above their corresponding brain area. The TMS creates small changes in the magnetic field, which caused neuron firing, similar to that in the encoder participants. In other words, if the encoder said yes, the decoder simply saw a flash of light. Okay, folks, we have to do a commercial. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Good evening from Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome back. In case you just tuned in, my name is Frank Allen, and we're discussing right now, or right in the middle of a experiment, but we are discussing ethics. The ethics of using mind control. And we're looking at some of the, what I would call at this point in time, infantile progress. Back in 2013, I happen to know that they were much farther ahead than this in terms of DARPA. And all the targets know who DARPA is. If you do not, just Google DARPA. And you will see that when the Department of Defense wants something, they just say, hey, DARPA, make this. And guess what? They do. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, just to sum up, 72% of the people who participated in this game were correct. Excuse me. The brilliant aspect of this study was that by generating the transmitted signal in the visual areas of the brain, the decoding person was consciously aware of the information given to them. This also meant that the decoder had to actively participate by clicking either a yes or a no button. Furthermore, this was the largest brain-to-brain interface study and also the first to include female participants. They are saying here that they still cannot transmit complex ideas between people, mainly because we still don't know how the brain encodes complex ideas. Well, I'll tell you right now that they were way behind back then, because right now, MIT, using a laser, can transmit a thought or a voice without using anything else on the other end. Just this laser pointing at the individual. So this is very, very old. And I always say this, don't rush evolution. When humans are supposed to communicate brain to brain, they will. They will have evolved to do so. But rushing it may damage the pineal gland. It may damage future evolution of man instead of helping it. In terms of helping people with disabilities, this is a great stride. But there are dangers. Every time this AI computer performs these operations, it learns more about adjacent brain activity. And as you know, AI learns from its mistakes. It's just like predictive text on your computer. There is obviously still a long way to go before we'll know what brain-to-brain interface may be capable of. So far, we still cannot transmit complex ideas between people, mainly because we still do not know how the brain encodes complex ideas. And it's very weird, as it may sound, science still cannot explain consciousness. And I think what they're meaning here is human awareness, or intellect, or soul, or spirit. Science still cannot explain this. And they never will be able to explain it. So they cannot explain consciousness. Okay, folks, we have to take a break for station identification. We'll be back in 3 minutes. And I thank you for listening.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Good evening from Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome back. Tonight, we are discussing mind reading, mind control, and ethical questions that are coming up. There are 20,000 scientists worldwide that are concerned. We have millions of targeted individuals in the United States and all across the world. We're concerned, very concerned. Do you know what it's like to have two people that are hundreds of miles away chattering in your head? And you say, well, you have schizophrenia. You're schizophrenic. I'm not. So I'm going to get back to this. However, already this area of research is raising ethical questions. This is in 2013 now. We should start having conversations now about the implications of these devices, before they get to the point where we can alter complex thoughts. We need to start thinking, for example, about how we can design this technology to prevent unwanted thoughts being sent directly into our heads. So, the concern is there by scientists. Back in 2013, today, the concern is deafening. That said, These devices clearly have the potential to revolutionize the way we communicate and learn. There's a mind-boggling number of possible applications. Just imagine projecting ideas in an educational environment, directly sharing memories with others, replacing the need for phones or the internet altogether, or even in the more near term, using it to teach people new motor skills during rehabilitation, such as soldiers coming home from war, which I highly approve of. But they will not limit it to that. AI is learning all the time. And if you think that AI is one little computer somewhere, you're wrong. AI is somewhere in a giant facility with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mainframe type computers. So, we have to start doing something about this before we cannot do anything at all. So far, brain-to-brain interfaces are just a really exciting but extremely rudimentary development in neurotechnology. Now, but with Elon Musk's launch of a new company, Neuralink, just last year, which would be 2012, with the goal of investigating and developing these types of devices. Who knows what the future might hold? Now I'm going to take excerpts from Harvard University, September 5, 2019. Scientists are blurring the distinction between brain and machine. Blurring. You see that gray area between the brain and the machine? They are designing nanoelectronics that look, move, and feel like real neurons, camouflaged in the brain. This technology could offer a better way to treat Alzheimer's disease or PTS disorder, control prosthetics, or even enhance cognitive abilities. They fail to qualify these procedures to include the CIA's role in hunting down the essence of mind control. The CIA has to have this mind control. And I think they are getting it right now through DARPA. And if you people that are not targets who are listening, just Google DARPA and Google targeted individuals. Electrodes are implanted in the brain, and they help alleviate symptoms like the intrusive tremors associated with Parkinson's disease. But current probes face limitations due to their size and inflexibility. And these implants are rigid, and the brain is not. Mr. Charles M. Lieber's discovery of ultra-flexible alternatives saw the future of brain-machine interfaces. In a recent perspective titled Precision Electronic Medicine, published in Nature Biotechnology, Patel, a faculty member at the Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital, and Lieber, the Joshua and Beth Friedman University professor, argue that neurotechnology is on the cusp of a major renaissance. Throughout history, scientists have blurred discipline lines to tackle problems larger than their individual fields. The Human Genome Project, for example, convened international teams of scientists to map human genes faster than otherwise possible. The next frontier is really the merging of human cognition with machines, Patel said. He and Lieber see mesh electronics as the foundation for those machines, a way to design personalized electronic equipment and treatment for just about anything related to the brain. Everything manifests in the brain fundamentally. Everything. All your thoughts, your perceptions, any type of disease, Patel said. Scientists can pinpoint the general areas of the brain where decision making, learning, and emotions originate. But tracing behaviors to specific neurons is still a challenge. Right now, when the brain's complex circuitry starts to misbehave or degrade due to psychiatric illness like addiction or obsessive-compulsive disorder, neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, or even natural aging, patients have only two options for medical intervention: drugs, or when those fail, implanted electrodes. There are drugs out there, like L-DOPA, that can quiet the tremors that prevent someone with Parkinson's from performing simple tasks like dressing and eating. But because drugs affect more than just their target, even common L-DOPA side effects can be severe, ranging from nausea to depression to abnormal heart rhythms. When drugs no longer work, FDA-approved electrodes can provide relief through deep brain stimulation. Like a pacemaker, a battery pack set beneath the clavicle sends automated electrical pulses to two brain implants. Lieber said each electrode looks like a pencil, and it's big. And they have found that the brain will reject these implants and sacrifice adjacent neurons to do it. So the brain is a fighter, It recognizes something that is foreign. During implantation, Parkinson's patients are awake so surgeons can calibrate the electrical pulses, dial the electricity up, and the tremors calm. Almost instantly, you can see the person regain control of their limbs, Patel said. This is great. My brother has Parkinson's, and he refuses to take medication. He refuses everything. So he's decided to just give up. Give up on life, give up on everything because of Vietnam. But to get back to this, L-DOPA, the large electrodes, stimulate more than their intended targets, causing sometimes severe side effects like speech impediments. And over time, the brain's immune system treats the stiff implants as foreign objects. In contrast, Lieber's mesh electronics provoke almost no immune response. With close long-term proximity to the same neurons, the implants can collect robust data on how individual neurons communicate over time. Or in the case of neurological disorders, fail to communicate. Eventually, such technology could track how specific neural subtypes talk, all of which could lead to a cleaner, more precise map of the brain's communication network. All of this causing danger to your data that you've been collecting since you were born. And they have access to it, all of it. Your memories. All they have to do is move an electrode from one area to another. And they can pick up just about whatever they want to. With high-resolution targets, future electrodes can act with greater precision, eliminating unwanted side effects. If that happens, Patel said, they could be tuned to treat any neurological disorder. And unlike current electrodes, Lieber's have already demonstrated a valuable trick of their own. They encourage neural migration, potentially guiding newborn neurons to damaged areas, like pockets created by stroke. Now that is fantastic. There are strides here that are good, but whenever something comes out that's good, the CIA and DARPA want it. They will often take over experiments. They will often take over entire facilities that are conducting this research, implanting people. Implanting doctors with false credentials. They will do anything to get this information. And if you could ask one, he would say it is in the interests of national security. Because China is doing it and Russia is doing it, so DARPA and the CIA have to do it. The potential reaches beyond therapeutics. Adaptive electrodes could provide heightened control over prosthetic or even paralyzed limbs. In time, they could act like neural substitutes, replacing damaged circuitry to reestablish broken communication and recalibrate based on live feedback. If you could actually interact in a precise and long-term way and also provide feedback information, Lieber said, you could really communicate with the brain in the same way that the brain is communicating with itself. A few major technology companies are also eager to champion brain-machine interfaces. Some, like Neuralink, which plans to give paralyzed patients the power to work computers with their minds, are focused on assistive applications. Others have broader plans. Facebook wants people to text by imaging the words. And Brian Johnson's kernel, now kernel, if you don't understand what that is, it's the basic communication part of any operating system. In fact, the Linux program is actually built around kernel. So Brian Johnson, his kernel hopes to enhance cognitive abilities. During his postdoctoral studies, Patel saw how just a short pulse of electricity, no more than 500 milliseconds of stimulation, could control a person's ability to make a safe or impulsive decision. After a little zap, subjects who almost always chose the risky bet instead went with the safe option. You would have no idea that it's happened, Patel said. You are unaware of it. It's beyond your conscious awareness. Such power demands intense ethical scrutiny. For people struggling to combat addiction or obsessive compulsive disorder, an external pulse regulator could significantly improve their quality of life. But companies that operate those regulators could access their clients' most personal data, their thoughts. And if enhanced learning and memory are for sale, who gets to buy a better brain? One does need to be a little careful about the ethics involved if you're trying to make a superhuman, Lieber said. Being able to help people is much more important to Mr. Lieber at this time. Now, mesh electronics is simply the use of these very flexible, lifelike neurons. And mesh electronics still have several major challenges to overcome. Scaling up the number of implanted electrodes, processing the data flood those implants deliver, and feeding that information back into the system to enable live recalibration. He always jokes in talks that he's doing this because his memory has gotten a little worse than it used to be, Lever said. That's natural aging. But does it have to be that way? What if you could correct it? If he and Patel succeed in galvanizing researchers around mesh electronics, the question might not be if, but when. And that's what we have to look at. If they are telling us this, I would consider this to be about 20% of what is actually happening. Right now, I'd like to say good night from Boston, Massachusetts, and God bless.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late-night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.